to talk to you today about biblical meditation. And a beautiful passage of scripture here, Joshua 1, 6 and 9, on the screen there behind me that you'll see. It's in the New Living Translation. And if you happen to have another translation, I'm sure you can still follow along. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. I will give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it night and day so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Lord, I pray those words would just settle in our hearts, and that, Lord, that we'd bring us into a new season, that we might be strong and that we might be courageous for the things of God. And so, Lord, we pray for a fresh impartation today, even as we speak, Lord, of meditation. And Lord, this part of being practicing meditation biblically. And so we just ask your blessing on your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share about something maybe a little bit different. We don't necessarily talk about that a lot in our churches, about meditation. Meditating on God. Encouraging ourselves in those prayer times. That one of the things that we can do in a prayer time is just to take time to meditate. Now, I realize as we speak of meditation, it's something that sometimes can bring confusion with some people, because we kind of bring confusion as we look to the modern meditation that is quite prevalent in our world today. And meditation is something that is encouraged in other religions, not just in Christianity, but it's also encouraged in many other religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, New Age, yoga, even in our schools, being promoted as something that is good for your mental health and calming to a person. So we have a lot of things, people talking about meditation, but are they all talking about the same thing? And the answer to that is that no, they're not. They're not talking about the same thing. Much of the meditation that is being practiced today does not have its roots in biblical meditation, but rather meditation of false religions and cults. And just for a very simple example for you, if you want to take yoga, and you just go and on Google, put in yoga and see what comes up. They don't try to hide it. They'll tell you very clearly that these exercises are part of Buddhism and Hinduism, and also from Tibetan monks and Taoist monks. So they don't hide where that meditation is coming from. And we need to be aware of that it's not the same kind of meditation. The modern form of meditation involves emptying your mind to reach this place of peace, or to empty your mind to that place where something spiritual might happen to you. And that's not the definition of meditation. And that's not the kind of meditation that God desires of us. Interesting, as I was just looking at the Webster's Dictionary, just thought, well, what does Webster Dictionary talk about when it comes to meditation? And it gives this definition. It says, "Meditation is something that means to study, to ponder, to think deeply, taking the time to have deep reflection on spiritual matters." And so even as you would look at a secular dictionary, it tells us that meditation is quite different from that of what we see happening in our world, where our world is encouraging to empty our mind, and while in actual reality, we should be filling our mind. And so there's a very big difference between modern meditation and what is biblical meditation. And biblical meditation is filling your mind, while the world's meditation is emptying your mind. And so that's something that really to keep in mind when The world desires to clear everything out, have no thoughts, empty yourself out, just meet this place, this time of space, and then something can sometimes happen, which may not be something that you would actually enjoy. But for biblical meditation, it involves pondering, thinking, taking time to reflect on the good things and to reflect on spiritual matters. So one, the world, clean out the mind. God wants us to fill our minds. Fill our minds. That's the big difference that's out there. And this type of meditation where we fill our minds is something that's very helpful, very beneficial. And it's something that we need to apply to our lives. And not just to our lives, but even in our times of prayer, that we take time to meditate on the things of God. And so for these next few moments, I just thought I'd spend some time talking to you about biblical meditation, filling your mind with good things, which is what God wants us to do. And it can be such a blessing in our lives, probably a lot more than what you think or what you even thought of. But it's a very encouraging thing that God wants us to do, to take time to meditate on Him and on the things of God. And so I want to talk about five different areas where we can meditate and where it's practical and where it's good for us. Now, the first part of biblical meditation, and we see this from our opening passage that we read here in Joshua chapter 1, it tells us that we need to meditate on God's Word, the Bible. And let me tell you, friend, this is a huge, huge help to every one of us if we would begin to read, meditate on this book, the Bible. It's so very, very important. And statistics are telling us today that even as Christians, we're not even reading the book, let alone meditating on this book. And so that's something that's really, really important. Joshua 1 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That's a very strong passage of scripture that's telling us about biblical meditation and that where that focus needs to be. It needs to be upon the very Word of God. So it tells us that we need to read this book. We need to ponder this book. We need to study this book. We need to think deeply about this book. We need to reflect about this book. It says meditate on it day and night. And we need to do that. There's a huge blessing as we do that. So friends, we need to learn to spend that time in the Word of God. It's a book that we need to pick up every day, that we need to study every day. It really is important. It's not a book that you just put on a shelf and never read it, or just bring it to church and that's your only reading time. We need to be constantly reading this book. And today we're so blessed. We got the electronic Bible. You can read in hundreds of different versions. You can do studies, and you can just do that on your phone. It's just so beautiful. We have such access to this wonderful Word, the Bible, that we can listen to and read and play through your Apple CarPlay on your vehicles, and you can listen to it. There's just so many ways we can get into this book. And the Bible says you need to do this. You need to meditate upon this book. And as you meditate on this book, there's a lot of benefits. Just looking again at that passage of scripture that we read here of Joshua 1 and 6 to 9, and you start reading through there, you start to see what are the advantages of meditating upon the Word of God. And it tells us that meditating on the Word of God is a key to being strong and courageous. Do you want to be strong and courageous? Are you finding that yourself that you're not very strong in the faith? You're not very courageous in the faith? Well, let me tell you something. This will help you. This will help you getting into the Word of God and meditating upon that. Meditation on God's Word is a key to being successful. Have you been going through a number of areas where things have not been working out for you? Things have not been working out well? Again, there's the book. Meditate on this book. God's Word is a key, again, to prospering. If you want to prosper, meditate on this book. See what God's saying. See what God's saying in this book. Meditation on God's Word is the key to our obedience. Are you struggling with disobedience? Are you struggling in areas of your Christian walk and not always doing the things you should be doing? Start meditating. That's the solution. Start meditating on the Word of God. Meditation on God's Word is the key to breaking off fear and discouragement in our lives. Been a lot of that in our community and in our province of late. A lot of fear, a lot of discouragement, a lot of people are down. There's an answer. Meditate on God's Word. Meditation on God's Word is the key to knowing God is with you. God is with you. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we accuse God that you're not there. Where are you, God? Well, if you start meditating on this book, you'll start sensing the very presence of Almighty God. So that's a lot of benefits. And that's just taking those few little verses. And there's lots of verses in the Bible that talk about the importance of meditating upon the Word of God. Psalm 119, that whole long song, the longest psalm in the Bible. Read that one. It talks about the Word of God all through it. It really is to our benefit to meditate upon the Word of God, to take time to do so. God's Word is so very, very important. It really does need to be a priority in our lives today. So much of our Christianity is leaving this book on the shelf, or we're leaving this book behind and we don't know it, and we're so opinionated, even with the gospel today, even in how we do church today. Let me tell you something. You start meditating on this book, it tells you all those things. It tells you the hows. It tells you the whys. You just learn to meditate. But we're not doing that. And God wants us to get back to this Word, to reading this Word, to speaking this Word. A person had talked to me earlier this summer, and they were talking about our church. And they're saying, you know, Pastor, I need to repent before you because I wasn't enjoying church. And you always spoke from the Bible. You always kept speaking. But you know what, Pastor? I realize that's exactly what I need. I need the Word of God. Not somebody's opinion, not somebody's story, but the very Word of God. That's important. That's important to me. That's why when I do a sermon, probably 99 point something else, not quite 100%, it's always from a passage of Scripture. We need to get into this book. I love this book. We need to get into that book. If we get into this book and value this book and begin to meditate upon it and read it, then great things will start happening. But if we don't read this Word, if we don't meditate on this Word, all those things that were a positive become a negative. So all of a sudden, fear rules our lives. All of a sudden, discouragement rules our lives. All of a sudden, failure rules our lives. All of a sudden, disobedience rules our lives. And we don't sense the presence of God. And so it's a big reminder. Let's get back to the Word of God and meditate upon this book and what God has to say. You know, there's a lot of people today, they're looking for peace. But we're trying to find peace without looking to God. Or we're trying to find peace by avoiding all the things that it says we should be doing in this book. But the key is, when you start doing what's in the book, peace comes. Peace comes. Peace starts flooding in. We need to choose what this book says. We live in a world where our world is living in a way that they do what is right in their own eyes. And we see that even in our nation of Canada today, that, you know, it's so important about all of our rights. And everyone wants to do what is right in their own eyes. We've lost our value system. This nation was brought up on this book. And if people want to argue that it wasn't, just look at the Parliament buildings, filled with the Scriptures. Look at Confederation, filled with the Scriptures. We need to get back. Canada needs to get back to meditating upon this book. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." And you remember something. The Bible is God's Word to us. It's inspired by God. It's not just some religious book. It's a book by God. It's a letter from God. God himself spoke to men of God that we might have this book with us here today. And it survived throughout generation after generation after generation. Still a bestseller in our world today. It's an important book. We need to meditate upon it. And as we do so, we'll learn how to do things that are right. We'll stop making excuses for doing things that are wrong because we're going to learn from the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's beneficial to us. And as we read that Word, we're going to be influenced by truth. There's so many lies today, even in Christendom today, that people are believing. They're not true. It's false doctrine. A lot of people are believing today. But you know what? What's the answer to false doctrine? You meditate on this book. You learn what's in this book. So often we meditate on lies that lead us to believing more lies. And if we would start meditating on this book, a book of truth, then truth will start coming to our minds instead of lies, and lies will be cast aside. Bad behavior be cast aside. Bad thinking will be cast aside because we'll start to learn and think what we're putting into our minds. Psalmist David was just loved God's word. And he says over and over again how powerful the word of God was to him. Psalm 119, very powerful portion of scripture on the word of God. And David says in verse 48, he says, I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. It was a daily practice for King David. Meditate on the word of God. Meditate on what God is saying, what God has said. And I think we need to do that as well. I think God is calling us back. You know what, church? The answers are in this book. You're looking to a lot of different places for answers when the answers are right in this book. They're right in front of you. And if you will only read this book and study this book and meditate on this book, then that success will come your way. So biblical meditation is taking time to meditate on God's word. It's filling your mind with what God has to say. And that's the kind of meditation that is helpful. It's not emptying your mind, but it's filling your mind with something that is good, something that is true, something that is powerful, something that is life-changing. Meditate on God's word. And secondly, biblical meditation is meditating on good things. Not bad things, not evil things. Too often our focus is thinking of all the bad things that are happening to us. And we mull them over in our minds over and over and over again and usually end up believing even more lies because they just keep getting bigger lies when you keep thinking about them. And God says, I want you to be meditating on good things. Good things. Philippians 4, 8 to 9, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts, meditate on what is true and honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How do you get the peace? You start thinking and meditating on good things. Good things. Things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are right, things that are pure, lovely, admirable, all those kinds of things, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. As we put those kinds of things in our minds and begin to think about them, then the peace of God will come into our lives. Notice again how meditation equals peace, but it's not emptying your mind, it's filling your mind. So often we allow bad things to occupy our minds. And God says, I don't want you to think about the bad things. I want you to feel good. Do you realize that? God wants you to feel good. He doesn't want you to feel down and discouraged. He doesn't want you to feel that way at all. He wants you to feel uplifted and encouraged. And he's telling us that one of the ways that that can happen is, well, you meditate on my word, but you also meditate on good things. Good things. See, when you meditate on good things, it changes your atmosphere. It brings a peace instead of a torment into your life. And we all know that that's exactly what happens when we start thinking about bad things. It brings a torment in our lives. We don't sleep, we can't rest because, why? Our minds are caught up in some of these bad things. And God said, I want you to think on good things. That's what I've given you. That's what I've spoken over your life. I've spoken over your lives that I desire to give you good things. You need to start thinking about those kinds of things. Psalmist David, he recognized that importance of meditating on good things, and that as he would do so, that's the kind of thinking or meditating that God desires and that it pleases God. Psalm 19, 14, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's check our thinking. What are we meditating on? What's been on your mind? What was on your mind, actually, when you came to church this morning? Was it that you're so excited to be here like those little kids? Or was there something else that was on your mind? It was rather tormenting your mind. God says, I want you to think on things that will not torment, but are good things. Good things. Good things. God has good things for you. So let's check our thinking. Let's examine what we've been pondering over these last little while. And what's on our hearts? Have we been meditating on the wrong things? And if so, that needs to change. And we need to be brought back to meditating and thinking about the good things. The good things that God has for us. The good things that are pleasing to God. The good things that are acceptable to God. And so if we really want to benefit from this whole meditation thing, then we need to be meditating on things that are good. That's what God tells us to do. You need to meditate good things. Good things. Then thirdly, in biblical meditation, the obvious, we need to meditate on God. Think about God. Get your focus about Him. Not on every activity of life that we often so do. Focus on Him. Think about God. Reflect on God. Think deeply. Ponder. Reflect on who He is. Because again, it's another great focus in our prayer that will encourage us when we start thinking and meditating who my God is. Because so much of life gets us down and discouraged, and we think, oh, it's never going to change. Nothing's going to change. Start thinking about who your God is. Start thinking who your God is. The psalmist David made meditation his normal practice. And as he meditated on God, he was encouraged. He was blessed. His faith increased. And again, that's just more benefits when we take the time to meditate on God. Psalm 63, 5-7 say, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. See, meditating on God will increase your faith. It will build up your faith. It will cause you to spring forth with a new song and a new joy. It will bring satisfaction and contentment in your life. Again, benefits of meditating on God. Meditate on who your God is. Who is He? Well, He's my Savior. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my strong tower. He's my defense. He's my fortress. He's my place of refuge. He's my comfort. He's my God. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my love. He's my everything. That's who He is. Meditate on who God, what God can do for you. He can save you. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can turn things around. He can move mountains and calm our seas. Meditate on the love of God, that God loves us and cares about us and is compassionate towards us. Psalmist David said in Psalm 48:9, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. I love meditating when we worship. Sometimes I'm singing and sometimes I just stop and I just begin to meditate on the goodness of God and the things of God or what that song is saying. And I just begin to worship in that sense as I'm meditating and thinking more deeply on what's being said through those songs. Meditating on God, it changes the atmosphere, brings hope, brings faith, brings peace, results in praise and worship. And I really think that God is telling us, you know what, you've been meditating and occupying your mind in too many other things. And he's telling us, I want you to come back to me and meditate upon me. Get a new picture. Probably many of us in this room, we need a new picture. We need a new vision that comes from him to come into our lives again. To realize again and afresh that God is bigger than any situation and any circumstance, any difficulty or any problem that we're going through. He's bigger than our economy. He's bigger than who is our prime minister. He's bigger. He's bigger. And he's able to change that atmosphere. So biblical meditation is meditating on God and focusing on who he is and what he can do, which kind of brings you to the fourth point. Biblical meditation focuses on the works of God, what God has already done, the breakthroughs, the testimonies, the answers to prayer that you've experienced. It's another great faith builder as we meditate and ponder on the things that God has done, just in our own lives, let alone other people's life, but just begin to take some time to ponder, to think about what God has done in your life. Again, it can be so profitable for us. Meditate on the works of God and what he has done. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. Great source of encouragement. Start meditating on what God has done. Too often we do the exact opposite. We meditate on what God has not done. We meditate on where we're at maybe right now or going through a difficulty or going through a problem, and we start meditating on that instead of meditating on what God has done. And because we're meditating on what hasn't happened, what happens is, well, we get discouraged. We start becoming critical. We start getting down on ourselves when God is saying, listen, you need to lift up your faith again. You need to go back and start remembering. Remember that day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Remember how your life was like before then. Remember how God has been with you throughout those years and how God has blessed you. And as you begin to start focusing and meditating on all the things that God has done in your past, it starts giving you hope and faith for the future of what he's going to do. It's a great thing to do. Very powerful. Great, powerful faith builder. Take time to meditate. Take time to think of the testimonies of what God has done. Take time to think of the testimonies that God has done in your church or God has done in your family or God has done in people that you know. You know, we live in a world that our society is training us to think negative. Not think positive, but to think negative. And as you look at the newscast, it's pretty hard to find a good story on the news. They don't like to tell you good stories because they have also believed a lie that bad news sells. So they don't want to tell you about all the good news. And they just assassinate people's character left and right. And as we're coming closer to election, we're already seeing people, you know, our governments were just assassinating one another's characters. And everything's negative. Everything's negative. But sometimes that creeps into us as well as Christians, as a church. We just start thinking about all the negative things. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this way we do this. And we just get negative, negative, negative. And God's calling us back that we might have a focus upon him and what he has done. That our faith can be encouraged again to believe for the impossibles that we see before us. That's what we need to do. You know, the psalmist, I love reading the Psalms. You heard me say that so much, but I really do. Because you identify with the psalmist so much because he begins to talk about that how at times he gets discouraged and he begins to complain and begins to focus on all these other things. He begins to meditate on the bad and the disappointments and he starts getting depressed and discouraged. Look how he says it in Psalm 77:10-12, and he said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. That's it. That's what's happening. God has forsaken me. We probably all said that at one point or another in our lives. But then he says, but then I recall all you have done. Oh Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are certainly constantly on my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Wow. if we could do that, if we could kind of put aside all that disappointment and just start focusing and meditating on all the good things of God and all the good things that He has done in our lives and through other people. Focus, meditate, think about the mighty works of God. May they be constantly on our minds. That's what biblical meditation is all about. And it will lift your soul and bring encouragement to your heart. And then lastly, biblical meditation is about meditating on prophetic and encouraging words that were spoken over you throughout your life. There have been things that probably have been spoken over you as a child. Good words. You need to remember those kinds of words. There have been words spoken over you throughout your upbringing that were good. You need to focus upon them. There have been prophetic words where someone that maybe didn't even know you came up to you and began to speak over your life and speak things that are going to take place in your life. And they were very encouraging words. We need to meditate on those things. But what do? We rather meditate on all the bad words that were spoken over us. That when we were a child, that maybe some words got spoken over us that shouldn't have been spoken. Maybe as we were growing up, maybe a teacher spoke something over us that wasn't very good. Or maybe somebody close to you spoke something over you that wasn't very good. It wasn't very kind. And that's what we end up meditating on. And as we do so, all it does is bring more discouragement. Just brings us down even further. And God wants us to be focusing on what He's spoken over you. God wants us to be focusing and meditating on the good things that have been spoken over you. So if you would ponder, you would think about, you would reflect on encouraging words that were spoken over you. It's been interesting in these last few books that I've been reading at home that each author has been practicing this type of meditation on a regular basis. They take out those words that were spoken over them, prophetic words or just sometimes kind words that were spoken over them, and they begin to read them back to themselves. Some of them do it quite often, like on a weekly basis. Great idea. Great idea. Get some reflecting on what God's saying, not what the enemy's saying or what other people are saying. Paul tells Timothy to do this in 1 Timothy 4, 14 to 15. He says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress." King James Version says, "Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them." So again, this biblical meditation involves thinking, pondering, meditating on the good words that were spoken over you, whether they were prophetic words or not. Focus on those good words. And friends, let's get away from those other words, the bad words, the lies that have been spoken over our lives, the torment that we often even put on ourselves because those things hurt us. And when something hurts us, we start to think about them. And as you start to think about them, the hurt gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The longer you think, the deeper it gets. God says, "I want you to meditate on the words that were spoken over your life, the good words." Good words. Good words. Is it any wonder why God tells us these things? When He realizes that our tendency is to go the opposite way and meditate in the wrong areas, where God is saying, I want you to meditate on good things. Good things. One of the things that I've learned and also seen in many books as well, when it talks about this torment of lies and the words, bad words that may have been spoken over you. There's a little prayer I like to pray. We found it in Sozo. It's a simple little prayer, and I really find that God answers it very, very well. And that when you're counseling with people, God seems to work through that little prayer so very, very well. And it's a simple thing where we ask Jesus, "Jesus, is it true that I am," and you kind of fill in the blank. Whatever somebody spoke over you that was bad. One of the ways to really kill that thought is to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, is this true?" And when you hear from Him that He says it's not true, then Lord, what's the truth? And it's amazing how God can often speak to us and reveal to us what that truth is. See, Jesus wants to speak into our lives. He wants to speak truth into our lives. Because truth conquers fear. Truth conquers lies. It really does. Personally, I've been trying to do this even more myself, to write down every time there's a prophetic word. And sometimes, you know, if you're expecting it, well, you can kind of prepare yourself. You can have your recorder out or something like that. Or you can be on your phone real quick and turn on that to kind of catch those words. But lots of times it happens. It just happens so quick and you're just not ready to do that. And so I try to take notes, and I try to have that when they're done to write down what they had said. Sometimes people send an email. Sometimes people message me. Sometimes they'll send me a recording, and I can keep that recording. And so I try to do that. I certainly don't obviously do it enough. I need to be doing it more. I know that. Some years back, you might remember, we wrote on these walls. And we wrote things down that we believe God was saying to us. I still have all those. I got them in my office. And sometimes, again, I go through them. But not enough. I think this message has encouraged me, too, to say, you got to go back and read those even more. Read them even more. See, they get into your mind and in your heart what God is saying. Not what the world is saying, or not what the devil is saying, or what people are saying, what God is saying. They lift you up. They encourage you. They build you up. They help you to be stronger. So I encourage you, don't forget that part of meditation too. What's the good things that have been spoken over your life? What are some words? We've had lots of prophetic people here in this church that have visited here, that have spoken over you. What are some of those words? I think a lot of us have kind of said, hasn't happened yet, so we just discarded them. I think God is saying, you're in a new season. You better start working on those things. You remember I told you that some people had called me to say, we're in a new season. I haven't seen all that yet. But I keep getting a new season, a new season. It was interesting that a lady from Edmonton, she came up to see me and she brought me a book. Guess what the book's about? A new season. Something's about to change and shift. It's already happening. But God also is wanting some shift to take place in our own minds, where we start meditating on the things that are good, that are pleasing, and that God wants us to meditate upon. And so, as we close here this morning, what have you been meditating on? What's been filling your mind? I can guarantee you that if there's bad things, that's where the enemy's been attacking you. And he's tormenting a lot of people's minds. That's a fact. He really is. And God is saying, I want you to tackle that. I want you to battle that. First and foremost, with this, the book of truth. Truth conquers fear. Truth conquers lies. Always. We need to get back to this book. Meditate on this book. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Mull over those things that are being said. Begin to meditate on the good things. Good things. Good thoughts. Begin to meditate on who your God is. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Meditate on God's works. What has He done in your past? God's not finished with you yet. We're just getting going. We're just getting lined up for the greatest event in human history, I believe. Where God pours out His Spirit all over the land. What are those prophetic words, good words, that were spoken over you? Don't be concentrating on what the bad words were. You need to start concentrating on what the good words are. And maybe just to say that little prayer, Jesus, is it true that I'm not lovely, that I'm ugly, that I'm bad, that I'm terrible, I'm not a good person to hang around with? Are those words true? Ask Him. You'd be surprised how He'll answer you in that one. Is it true, Jesus? And then as you get that quick response, then Jesus, what's the truth I need to believe? What's the truth I need to believe? I think many times God will just say the things I've been already saying over your life from the very beginning. The things that I've been speaking through the prophets over your life. Meditate on those things. Don't throw them out. Meditate on them. Meditate. Focus on those things. And so this morning, I know we don't talk about meditation too much when it comes to prayer. We talk about praying and the different ways we can pray, but we don't talk about meditation that much. But it's something that's important. Something that can change your life and change our experience. If we would just take the time to meditate. Meditate. It's profitable. It's good for us. It helps us. It encourages us. It strengthens us. It exposes the lies and gets us to that place where God can truly move and encourage us today.